Maybe you've heard people say this in different ways, like, oh, wow, that person's gifted, or wow, they're really special, or they were born for that. Now, here's the question. Have you ever heard it said to you? Maybe it's always somebody else who they're saying it to. What about you? Well, guess what? Everyone has a gift. And so I want to say it to you this morning so that you can say, I have heard it said to me, you have a gift. I need to say this again. You have a gift. And if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, wow, I don't think I do. Not me. Yes, you do. Scripture says you do. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10 says it this way. Each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in service of others. Use your gift well. You have a gift. You see, I've got some things I want to speak to you and encourage you, because I have met too many people that feel like they have nothing to offer, that feel like they are not good enough, that they don't measure up, and yet God created you and he says you have a gift. You see, God did not create any junk, and no one is a mistake. Genesis 1:31, it says this. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. When he created human beings, he said it was very good. So I want to encourage you right now this morning. You, your person, who you are, God looks at you and says, you're my kid, and you're very good. He doesn't say you're stupid. He doesn't say you don't know what you're talking about. He says, you're very good. I created you. And guess what? He created you the way you are on purpose. People say all kinds of crazy things about others, but what does God say? That's what matters. And parents, if you are here today, what you say to your kids matters greatly. Because, you know, someone else can come along and tell one of your kids, oh, you have a gift or you're wonderful, but they want to hear it from their parents, the people who are closest to them, the ones who matter the most. Parents, talk to your kids. Tell your kids you have a gift. Don't tell your kids you're never going to amount to anything. Don't tell them, oh, are you stupid? Don't ever say words like that. Tell them, you have a gift. It maybe isn't in math, but you have a gift. You know, whatever it is, make sure you're speaking into their lives, because they do have a gift. The words you speak matter greatly. There are psychologists and counselors all over the country that are overwhelmed and don't have enough space for people, and they will tell you what parents have said to kids fills up their days, because people don't forget when they're crushed by words in their childhood. People don't forget when they're crushed by words in relationships. So if I can say this today, parents, call out the gifts in your kids. And if you have more than one kid, don't just call them out in one. Sometimes someone has a gift that's very obvious, and others have gifts that aren't so obvious. As a parent, it's your job to find out what they are and call them up and raise them up. You see, God didn't make any junk. He didn't make any mistakes. And if you're here today and you feel like you're junk, you feel like you're a mistake, let me clear that up right now. You are God's child. Scripture takes it a little bit further than that. It actually says that you and I were created in God's image. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. God created you in his image. Think about that for a minute. Seriously, can you feel like you're a nobody when the very creator of the stars and the planets and the universe around us also created you? Do you think that the one who created you didn't know what he was doing? Let me give you another verse. We'll go into that in a minute. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You're his creation. You're his child. And he loves you greatly. James 3, verse 9 puts a little twist on this, created in the image of God, and I want to go there right now. It says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Now, he is talking to them about their mouth, but he very clearly says we shouldn't be cursing or running down people because they are created in God's image. This is so important. Think about it for a minute. It's not okay to trash talk something God made, and he made it a lot like himself. And that also goes for trash talking yourself. You see, I understand that most of you here today, you know, you got over it as a kid. You don't trash talk other people. But how many in the room, don't put your hand up, may struggle with running yourself down? And nobody's around. You're saying, oh, how stupid I am. Oh, I can't believe I'm such an idiot. Or, you know, oh, I'm so ugly. You know, but for some people, it's real life. It's a struggle. But think what you're doing for a minute. You're saying that God really is a terrible creator. He didn't know what he was doing. He's not really very good at it when you run yourself down or anybody else. But the fact is, he's really good at what he does. He created you and he gave you gifts. Because church, you have a gift. And I need you to get past whatever lies have been spoken to you or that you've been believing about yourself, because you definitely have a gift. And instead of complaining, cursing, or running down yourself or others, I want you to begin to call out gifts in yourself and others. And actually, that's the challenge for this week, is to let someone else know they have a gift. Now, you might not even know what the gift is. If it's your family and you want to begin speaking into your family, you go ahead and you say and tell them, your kids, you have a gift. With your kids, you can probably tell them what it is because you know what it is. But if you're comfortable with that, then I want you to also be able to speak to somebody outside your family and tell them, you have a gift. You have a gift. In other words, you're going to be taking your eyes and saying to those people, you have a gift. How many have ever done that? You've called out a gift in somebody that you work with or that you're alongside of. Do it. It can transform a life. It can cause a gift to suddenly be activated that they didn't even think they had. So that's your challenge this week. Tell somebody they have a gift. And oh, by the way, you can tell yourself as well. If you haven't told yourself for a while, or you're someone who's struggling with who you are, with the image that God has given you, then I want you, go ahead and look in the mirror and tell yourself, you have a gift. You're a child of God. Did you know for some, that's really difficult to do? I believe there's a few here, when you look in that mirror and you start to say, you have a gift, or you are made in God, you're wonderful, you're beautiful. Some of you aren't going to be able to do it. Because for so long, internally, you have run yourself down. You got to stop it. And you got to change it. And here's the thing. You're like, well, Pastor, why are you telling us to say you have a gift? Because if you can't even get past that, you will never use that gift. And we're going to get to that. This is a series that we're beginning. We're going to get to what is your gift and how do you use it. But if you can't even say that you have a gift, you will never, never use it. So today is all about, you're going to walk out of here knowing you have a gift. And if by the time we're done preaching, you don't think you can walk out, you still don't believe you have a gift, then come up for prayer. And we will rebuke the lying devil that is telling you you don't. You have a gift. He designed you perfectly. So we're going to go a little further into this about how he created you. Psalm 139:13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Isn't that something? God knit you together. God put the pieces in you. Now, he's not just talking about your outward who you are, also inward. But you know, I believe that God made everybody beautiful in their own way. But I want to say this really clear. Don't make your life about looks or beauty. Don't do it. Did you know that how we look or we've got to be beautiful can become an idol? It can become an idol with two sides to it. It can become an idol in the sense of someone is all about their beauty and they spend all their time trying to look like the most beautiful person or the most handsome person and they know it. Woo! Or it can be the other side. And this one often people don't realize they've made an idol. It can be the other side. You've set up an idol of beauty that is so unreachable and impossible that you live depressed and frustrated and down on yourself because you can't reach the idol that you set. Can I ask you something? Who defines what beauty is? I'm going to tell you who defines it, the creator who made it. But yet we let society, we let culture define beauty. And everybody has to dress and look like, I don't know, somebody off social media. How about if we let God define beauty once again in our lives? Let God define what is good. Because looks aren't everything. They really aren't. So if you're living today and you're depressed about life and who you are because you don't measure up, I want to encourage you, let it go. Did you know that according to Scripture, Jesus was not good looking? You didn't know that, did you? Isaiah 53 verse 2. This is prophecy about Jesus. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was just plain. Now when you're singing me and Jesus, it's different. He was just plain, ordinary. Isn't that something? You don't have to be good looking to be successful. You have to use your gifts, whatever they are. You use your gifts and you accomplish the thing that God has given you to do. I've seen too many young people struggle and feel like they amount to nothing, even giving up on life, because they don't measure up to what they've seen on social media. It's not okay. There's a story in Scripture where Jesus tells them about this rich guy who ended up dying and going to hell. And the only thing he wanted to do, he actually said, you know, send someone back. And no, we can't do that. But even if we did, they wouldn't listen. If they won't listen to people who are living, why are they going to listen if someone comes back? And all he wanted to tell them was, live right. You don't want to end up here. But the devil makes it a big lie about, all your pain will end. It will be a wonderful thing. You know what will be wonderful? You live to the full and you use your gift. Live to the full and use your gift. And this brings us to our next point. Church, each of you were born with gifts for a purpose. Jeremiah 1 verse 4, God speaks to him and tells him, hey, you have a purpose, and tells him that he created him with it. The Lord said to me, I knew you before you were formed within your mother's womb. Before you were born, I sanctified you and appointed you as my spokesman to the world. Oh, Lord, I said, I can't do that. I'm far too young. I am only a youth. Don't say that, I replied, for you will go wherever I send you and speak whatever I tell you to do. You see, Jeremiah was created for a purpose, and he was gifted with what he needed for the task. You see, this is the amazing thing about the gifts that God gives. He gives them to you for a reason, because you have a purpose. You have a calling on your life. You matter, and you're meant to be here. If you were given a gift in this world, a Christmas gift, it's only good to you if you open it. I remember in our house this Christmas, we had Christmas gifts, and under the tree, and we opened Christmas gifts, but there was this one Christmas gift that got left because it was for somebody who wasn't there. And they were going to come at some point and get it, and the days went, and the tree's taken down, and this gift is still sitting there looking pretty but completely useless. And it moved onto the couch, behind the couch, into the corner. You know, you dust it. It just sat there. And finally, last week, they came for the gift. It was a friend of my wife's, and she wanted to get her gift, so she got her that gift. And last week, she came for the gift. She opened the gift, and it was a beautiful toque and scarf, and she put it on right away and put it to use. You see, gifts are only good if they're used. They're completely useless and pointless if you just leave them sitting in a corner, especially unopened. And for some here today, you're not sure what your gift is. You haven't even opened it. For others, you know what your gift is, but maybe you got hurt or something happened, and so you just shoved your gift over here, and you're like, whatever, maybe someday. That gift needs to be used, and it needs to be used today. You see, because he gave it to you for this time, this place, right where you are. There is nobody who came to Slave Lake by accident. There is nobody who is in this church right now by accident. God put you here. He put you here to hear this word. He put you here because you have something inside of you that the rest of us need. Church isn't about one or two people. It isn't about the worship team. It isn't about the pastor. It's about all of God's people coming together, using their gifts for his purpose. Your gifts matter. Your smile, your handshake, your encouragement, whatever your gift is, use it. Because gifts left unopened don't fulfill their purpose. There's a couple stories that I want to look at today as we come into the last part of the message. And I want to look at some Bible stories of people who were gifted and used their gifts. One of those people was Esther. And I'm going to read the verse and then I will back up and explain. But it's a well-known verse in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. It says, "If you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Now, Esther actually had many gifts, and if you've been in church for a long time, you probably know that she was beautiful, and many people stop there. They think, well, that was her gift. Esther had many gifts. She was humble. She was smart, she was courageous, and she was convincing, or persuasive, or whatever term you want to use. Esther had gifts, and those gifts were meant to be used, and they were meant to be used at that time. You see, what was happening here, Esther, whose parents had passed away, was looked after by a relative named Mordecai. Her parents probably passed away when the enemy came in and defeated everybody and took them captive. But here she was, still had a heart to serve God and was looked after by her relative. And one day the king decides he needs a new queen, and they send out people looking for beautiful women to come so he could pick his next queen. Esther gets chosen. She gets chosen, and I believe not just for her beauty, but also for who she was. Her attitude, her humility, and the rest of what they didn't yet know. She is the queen, but she has never told the king that she's a Jew. In process of time, the king's right-hand man decides he doesn't like the Jews, partially because Esther's relative Mordecai wouldn't bow to him, but no Jew would bow to him. They only bow to God. And so he decides, we're going to kill all the Jews, and he goes to the king and says, there's these troublemakers in our kingdom. Let's make a law that says that on such and such a day, people can go and destroy them and plunder and take all their stuff. The king was like, oh, okay, whatever you say. And, you know, stamps it with his ring. And Mordecai sees this decree, you know, they post it. This is what's going to happen on such and such a day. And he sends a message to Queen Esther and says, you need to talk to the king. And Queen Esther replies back and tells Mordecai, you don't understand, there's a law. Nobody goes into the king's inner court and talks to him unless he's called them to come. If they do unannounced, they are to be killed. It's not they might be killed. They're supposed to be killed, but there is one exception. If he holds out his golden scepter. And she then goes on to say, he hasn't called me or talked to me in 30 days. In other words, I don't know if he's mad at me or doesn't like me anymore or... Yeah, and we're not even going to go into the marriage stuff on this one. Not even close. But you get the point. This is not good. Mordecai then says the verse that we just read. I think you need to go, and I think you've been called to use your gifts for this moment. I don't know what's happening in your life, what things are going on. Maybe you feel like nothing's working, but you've been called to use your gifts for this time. Whatever the situation is, and you know what? If the situation is crazy, it might be even more so that you need to. So Esther says, all right, fine, I'll go. I want you to tell the people to fast and pray for 3 days. Myself and the ladies that are in my charge, we're also going to fast and pray for 3 days, and then I'll go into the king. And so she does. They fast and pray for 3 days. She hasn't been called in. I kind of wonder, was she fasting and praying that the king would call her maybe? You wonder, what was she wanting? But yet she just went to prayer, and she said, this is the cutoff day. This is when I'm going. And so she went in. Courageous. Humble and courageous. Can you imagine the courage it would have taken to walk into that place where the law is they kill you, except if he holds it out? That's nuts. And she walks in, and the king sees her, realizes she knows the law. There must be something that she really needs, and he holds out the golden scepter. She then tells the king, would you come to a banquet that I'm going to make for you and Haman? And then I'll tell you what my request is. They go to the banquet. At the first banquet, they eat, and she says, will you come back to a second banquet? I'm not sure why they needed two, but God's timing is perfect. And in this story, timing mattered a lot, what God was going to be doing. And so they come for the second dinner. And while they're at the dinner, the king says, Esther, are you going to tell me now what is your request? And Esther is smart and courageous and very convincing. You know, there are 100 different ways she could have brought up the conversation. She could have brought it up right away, but like, this Haman is stupid. You know, you should get rid of him. She brings it up. King, my request is that you would give me my life and the life of my people. Now, that is a way to start a convincing statement. And the king's like, what? Give you your life, your people? Yeah, king, I'm a Jew. And someone has decided to get rid of us. The king immediately, you know, he says, well, she didn't say she was a Jew yet, because his immediate reaction is, who would try to take your life? She says, this guy right here. Boom. That's the way to convince the king. And of course, then the king knows she's a Jew and that's her people. It ends up that Haman's life is taken, and Mordecai then has his position in authority close to the king. The king says, if I have stamped a decree, it can't be changed, which means there's still a day coming when people have been told that they can kill all you guys and take your stuff. He says, we can't change it, but the queen and Mordecai say, well, we'll make a new law then that says the Jews can stand up, protect themselves, and, you know, do the opposite if anybody wants to continue. Of course, all the people in the land, when they see a new decree come out that says this, they're smart enough to understand, don't touch the Jews. That happened because of one young lady who was not afraid to use her gifts in the face of death. We're not asking you to face death to use your gifts here. We're just saying, use them. Step up. Use what God's given you the best way you can. Did you know that sometimes your gifts may be hidden to other people? Sometimes you know your gift, but others don't. Sometimes you're not even sure at first, but God wants to make it clear to you. And one of those stories in Scripture is about a young man named David. Again, a story that everybody knows if you've been in church for a while. But I love this story because God had placed gifts and was working on a young man, and nobody had a clue. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. And I will back up and tell you the story. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. What's going on here? King Saul has been rejected as king. Samuel, as the prophet of God, has been told, go anoint a new king. In other words, pray that blessing, put the oil of anointing, which is the way of that God would actually put a portion of his spirit into that person for the role they have. You see, when God gives you a gift, he gives you the ability to use it. And so Samuel heads off to the family that he's been told to go see. And when he walks in, he sees this tall, strong young man. And he's like, oh man, this is the guy. He looks the part. Oh, how often do we judge by what we see? How often do we do the opposite way? I don't think it'd be this guy. I don't think it's possible. If anybody's ever looked at you and said, oh, not you, that's okay. If God says you, then it's you. You see, Samuel went down the line of brothers from the oldest, working his way down, and God kept saying, nope, 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 nope. And so he said, do you have any more sons? It's none of these. They said, oh, yeah, we almost forgot. There is one more. That, you know, that runty little guy that we use to watch the sheep. Yeah, I don't know if he was a skinny little guy or what, but anyways, they just left him to the sheep, and it's like, he's too young. He doesn't matter. Well, go get him. And when they get him, God says, yeah, this is the one. This is the one. Why was David the one? Why not the big tough guy? Why was it David? It was David because God had given him a special gift, and God was already working on him, even though everybody else thought that, not him. I want to encourage you today, if people have overlooked you, if people don't see that you have something, God does. And he has the ability to bring it up and to bring you up in it. And you see, he was working on David, looking after their sheep, because David had gifts. David himself was humble, and he had a leadership gift that nobody knew about. And God was honing it with sheep. Isn't that amazing? God was working on his gift with animals, and he was beginning to understand leadership. And he cared for those sheep that he was leading so much that he risked his life to kill a bear. Yeah, he had a leadership gift, and he was going to be an awesome leader. Because if he was willing to risk his life for a sheep, what would he do for people? Same thing. Risk his life. Look after them, protect them, lead them to fresh grass and water that's flowing. Make sure that they were healthy and well looked after. His gift was already being honed. What about you? What are you doing right now that God might actually be using to hone your gift? Do you know where you are right now is a season guaranteed, because we live in seasons, and the season you're in right now might not seem super exciting, but maybe God is working on you right now, honing your gift, because you have a gift, even if you don't know it. And he wants you to shine. He wants you to use that gift. He wants you to fully step in to what he has. You see, God looks at the heart. Why does he look at the heart and not the outward? Because the outward doesn't matter that much, but the heart matters. Because you see, if the heart isn't right, the actions won't follow. You won't fulfill or go through with what you're supposed to do. God is concerned with the heart, and he is so concerned with our hearts and where we're at that he said, I want to make sure that people's hearts can be made right and they can be one with me again. And yes, I want to talk about salvation for a minute. You see, for each of us that are here, maybe you've heard of Christ and what he did. You see, he was sent to the earth for you and I to pay for sin that we could have our hearts forgiven and made new. In the Old Testament, it talks about the fact that there's a heart of stone and he would change it to be a heart of flesh. There's only one person that can do that. That's Jesus. You see, a heart of stone is a heart that's been hurt and burned and sin, and it just gets closed. And God said, no, I'm going to change that. I want my people's heart to be hearts that are open and that they can love me and that they can love others. Because that's what Jesus said. And so they sent Jesus. Jesus came, God in the flesh, the Son of God. And he would hang on a cross and pay the price for yours and my sin. Pay the price that we could be healed, that we could be set free, that we could have our hearts healed. And so today, if you've not Ask God to come into your life and you've not yet experienced that heart change. We're going to take a moment today to allow that to begin because God wants to begin there. There's only one way to receive that, and it's this. You use words to say what you believe in your heart. And so today, like we do each week, I'm going to ask you to join me in this prayer. And you can all join in for those one or two who maybe have not done this. I want you to repeat this. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you now to forgive me of all my sin. I believe that you died for me, and I choose today to follow you. Amen.